Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
For the Warriors,
without a doubt. Without a doubt.
That's got to sting.
Yeah, I mean, unless they had some previous intel that Kawhi was coming regardless, or Kawhi is not coming regardless. But watching him win in Toronto, and I know they've got some cockamamie 10-person parade going on throughout. I don't even know if they have a downtown.
People.
I don't even know if Toronto has a downtown.
I'm watching it on CTV.
They've got one street, Joe, where everyone's is going to coagulate like white blood cells. Literally white blood cells. That's all you're going to find up there. But I digest, Jim.
What? What is the matter with you?
Yeah, you know
what's
wrong
with me.
What is the
matter with you?
I'm bitter.
You got a lot of issues.
I got
over
Laker
there.
Bandwagon boy between the glass, and I've got Mr. O Canada across from me. This is not the way I want to start my week.
It's all right. Is it really that big of a deal?
It's a huge deal because it was a parade that we were supposed to have. It was supposed to be our third and final parade
in
downtown Oakland.
Were eggs going to be involved?
Eggs were involved.
That's the most disappointing part of the whole thing, is whether or not people were going to show up to throw eggs at the big man.
I was even disappointed.
Really?
Yeah.
Not 4 and 5. It's the egg drop that was going to happen.
Yeah. 4 and 5's great.
Maybe some coming from atop of one of those buildings down Broadway. You never
Could
know.
I know.
Yeah.
It was
think
just,
about it.
That was going to be my finest work. If I saw one egg hurdle at him, it's like, well... Yeah,
we really do have billions.
Yep, exactly. But
hey, it's all right, though. It's all right. Look, this is how it plays out. We always knew the end could be coming, and whether or not the end has already occurred, or whether or not these guys rally to have that one last gasp, maybe two seasons from now, you can roll in the next season and just enjoy the year. You can sit back. There's no expectations. You don't have to worry about the takes. You don't have to worry about all of the free agency talk. Just sit back. All the pressure shifts to LA. It's all on LeBron and Davis and whatever else they want to do. Everyone's going to be watching them, criticizing them, hating on them, scrutinizing them at every turn. As a Warrior fan, it might be nice to sit back and say, all right, you know, this Wednesday night game with Boston coming to town, this Wednesday night game with Denver coming to town, this is huge. It'd be nice to see a win tonight. Instead of expecting wins, you might go into it thinking, all right, this is going to be a nice little test for us.
So you're not going to open up game one next year and say, what's a great way to open up Chase Center? How about 41-0 in the first season of Chase? You're not going to go with that
run? Learn my lesson this time around. I piggybacked on Damon, and I was like, yeah, they absolutely should win every single home game this year.
That's
how you send out a building.
If you start out the year, if your first year you go sub-500 at home, do you move back to Oracle for year two?
It's a good question. Maybe play certain games back at Oracle.
Seriously.
Still going to be there.
The Bucks did that. I think it was this season. They did some tribute throwback game at the Mecca. Yeah. Which was, it's like, how do you staff that? Do all the people from the new building just transfer over for one night only to work the old building?
That's a good question. I don't know how they do that.
Here's the court was really cool, too. Everything about that. The jerseys, the uniforms. Keep Oracle open. You can do 20-some games at Chase, and then another, you know, whatever's the remainder is at Oracle.
Joe, you used a phrase in there, and I'm going to paraphrase.
Because the Niners are going to do the whole two-stadium thing. We pitched that to them recently.
Is that going to work for them?
Yeah, they're going to build one in Oakland. 4 home games in South Bay, 4 home games in Oakland.
I love it. I love that idea.
Yeah. Well, with the Raiders leaving, it opens up a void to capitalize on young fans.
Yes, it does. And they're going to do it. I guarantee it. You used a phrase about the, and I'm paraphrasing, was it the run is over or this level for the Warriors is kind of over and now you're going to relax?
Yeah, I think the run's over. I think we're done. And I think that, you know, people will have a tough time reconciling that, but that doesn't mean there aren't exciting times ahead. I think this is the end of it.
Let me ask, because Steve Kerr has a unique view of this from two perspectives. One is the San Antonio one. He knows Pop and the way they had a couple of times they had breakdowns at appropriate times and they were able to come back and be great again. The Bulls had 3 championships. Michael retires or is asked to leave, depending on whose storyline you want to listen to. And for 2 seasons, they were down a little bit. They were a playoff team, but they were down a little bit. But then Michael came back, everyone was rejuvenated, and they were great again. Are we in the hammock period for the Warriors? Is next year the hammock where you lay? Is it a 1 or 2 year hammock, but then they finish strong with Klay and KD and the end of Steph's career? I don't know what Draymond's storyline is going to end up being, But is this that hammock area, Dibs? I think I've just come up with a slogan of some kind.
It's not tanking.
Rick Welts.
It's just a hammock.
You're welcome.
It's a hammock year. Instead of like when you have a high school graduate, you have a gap year before you go off to college. This is like a hammock year where,
yes,
not unlike a gap year where you basically take
a bridge
year.
Not a bridge year.
No, it's more of a gap year. It's a hammock year because, yeah, you know, you've mowed the lawn, you've done most of your chores already, and you've done them well, quite frankly, but you know there's still more work ahead, but you need to take some time in the hammock.
Yeah.
I like that, Jim. It's a hammock year.
To where it comes right back up. Like that, it's like that post that's going to keep the other end of the hammock up, and then you're going to come and ride strong through the finish line with those same guys. Maybe it's a year, maybe it's two seasons where you kind of fall back a little bit. Or if you're a Warrior fan, do you say, you know what? Our five-year stretch was great. It ain't coming back. It's over.
I think the way you look at it is the way you're shaping it up. Basically, this is the year where it's going to be about the Lakers now, obviously. And whether or not they go out and win, that's going to come down to LeBron and the rest of the team. The Warriors are going to be about getting healthy and gearing up for a run in 2 years. And then maybe, just maybe, you get what everyone was hoping they would get this year. Lakers, Warriors, Western Conference Finals for the right to win a championship. Like, that would be the ultimate way for this team to put a true bow on it. Should they decide, you know, this isn't the end as of now. If KD's back in the mix and Klay's back in the mix and they're going to be out all next season, fine. The expectations, much lower, but that's okay. It's understandable. Lakers go out and say they win. Say they win. And they've got Anthony Davis re-signing and they've got their big three or whatever. Durant comes back healthy. Klay comes back healthy. Hopefully Steph and Draymond are a little bit more rested and they get together and they say, you know what? Here we go. Let's go take him out one more time. He got another one of his rings. Let's go back and get Steph another ring. KD goes back and gets another ring. And then they end up winning, what would it be, 4-6? Is that what it ended up being? Because right now it's 3-5, so it would be 4-7?
Yeah, it'd be 4-7 if they won in 2 years.
Yeah. So 4-7. Get the shirts printed up now.
Do it now.
Little TM for the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, 4-7. You can already start talking about it. That would drive me nuts. I cannot spend a whole year talking about Durant's free agency and then immediately move into a conversation about 2 years down the road and how it's going to play out. I drive myself insane.
Because my biggest fear is we've just come off really this version of the modern era, the greatest run that you're going to see in the NBA. But I'd really hate to see them go in next year. We know they're going to be without two of the greats. And maybe Steph gets roughed up a little bit and gets worn down. And he isn't the Steph that we know he is. And I'd hate for it to fall off to a level of it's almost hard to watch. You know, it's almost like I would not I'm mad at you, Steph Curry, because you didn't score 35 tonight. It's like, man, he's just so worn down. He can't. And I would, you know, you'd want to reach out and hug the guy more than you want to rip the guy. I don't want the season to turn into that.
It's going to be one gigantic load management. It's going to be a lot of Steph and Draymond at home, road games. You're not going to have those guys playing 35, 38 minutes a night. You're just not. You're going to take your lumps. You're going to take your medicine. Steve Kerr is going to be out there rubbing his chin and praising Jacob Evans. It's going to be a lot of Damian Jones and his development, and Jordan Bell's looking better and better.
So next year at this time, we're getting ready for a lottery party?
I think we are, yeah. And I was looking at the Western Conference playoff teams last year.
I cannot believe that we're having the conversation about whether or not they'll make the playoffs next year and the fact that it's actually a legitimate conversation.
Well, just work with me for a second, Joe, because you look last year and it was the Warriors at 57, then it was Denver 54, Portland and Houston each with 53, Utah had 50 wins, then it was 49 for OKC and 48 apiece for the Spurs and the Clippers. We know that the Lakers with 37 wins are likely going to jump up into that playoff group. Now you look at Sacramento, Minnesota, Memphis, New Orleans, Dallas. Are any of those teams going to jump up in the top eight?
The Kings will be improved. The Kings, right. Coach, you're the expert on this, but I think the Kings will be better than the 39 wins they put up this past season. They're only going to get a little bit more seasoning.
Yeah.
They're a fun club.
Minnesota and Memphis, probably not. And Dallas, I don't think Dallas is in
well,
a mode
you got
to
Porzingis
really...
Coming
to Dallas, you got to watch out for.
Yeah,
Porzingis
think...
with...
With Luka Doncic and money to spend. Remember, they can add pieces.
They're no state tax down there
that's
either.
That's a great point.
Porzingis is a giant question mark to me still coming off the injury. And then Phoenix with 19 wins. I think we can all agree that they probably won't jump up into the playoffs just yet.
If Porzingis is a question, and that's fair, shouldn't Klay be a question? He's coming off the same injury.
Klay's
right?
out for the year in my mind.
Right, but then when he comes back, shouldn't we have that same question mark?
Perhaps, but then I think it's going to be a little bit more, it'll be a longer period of time. Perhaps I'm wrong on the Porzingis.
Were they both ACLs? I think they both were ACLs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we'll see, but if you look at the top eight in the West and you throw the Lakers up into that group, which of those eight is most likely to take a step back. And you'd have to look at the Warriors as candidate number one.
I wonder what happens to the Clippers if they don't land a big fish. Because they looked good in the playoffs. They closed strong last year. But then if you don't land that big fish, you go into the season.
Yeah.
How do you sell all those guys that played so hard? Hey, don't worry. We're still gonna compete. It's going to be like, damn, you just watched what happened across the street. So I'd put a question mark there. I wonder what's left for the Spurs. Weren't they one and done against Denver?
Mm-hmm.
They still won 48 games last year. But isn't DeRozan a free agent? A lot of people are linking DeRozan to the Knicks. Like, that could be their consolation prize. So we may be reaching the point where that's the end of the line for the Spurs. They could drop off. Oklahoma City has enough firepower where they're going to be in contention. Utah's a good team that won 50 games last year. The Rockets seem to have some problems. I don't know if it's going to be enough to knock them out. But I'd watch that. I'm thinking under on a season win total bet with them right now.
I agree.
There seem to be bigger problems there than people are letting on. I don't know what happens with Portland. Nurkic is going to come back. He should be healthy.
But I think they're going. I think they
Denver's
might blow him up.
Good.
I think that, you know what? I don't know if blow him up is right, but I think organizations saw what Toronto did by getting rid of DeMar DeRozan. It was DeRozan and Lowry. They were going to be teammates forever. They were going to go into the rafters. Jerseys were going to get retired, and all of a sudden it didn't happen. They split up two guys who they thought were going to be lifetime Raptors. I think they look at the same thing in Portland and say, we've got two guys in the backcourt, lifetime Blazers. Maybe one of those guys gets to go. I think
they might get swept up in false success.
Yes.
They might say, hey, no, we just went to the Western Conference Finals. We're good. You are not good. You are still a long way away. It was a nice story, but you are a long way away.
Yep, exactly. I think the one team that everyone's going to forget, and I'm going to love, the Denver Nuggets. I think the Denver Nuggets are quietly going to sit there and get better because they were young, and they'll get better just by being together.
Good seasoning for them. They had two.
Yep.
Did the Portland series go seven?
The Portland series did go
yes,
seven.
Yes, it did.
They played 2 7-game series. They had a heck of a run there.
And they're adding that kid who they drafted in the first round in 2018 who didn't play 1 minute because he had the back issue, who many people said could have been or probably would have been.
That was a kid from Missouri. Michael Porter?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yes. And they said without the
good
back,
pull, Joe.
He's a 1-2 or 3.
Martin,
in the
when he was at Cal, went to Missouri and recruited him there.
Yep.
Porter was supposed to be straight nasty, but that injury was legit.
And now he's taken the full year off. Now it's 2 years with the back. He had the back surgery at Missouri, came back and played one or two games in the NCAA tournament, and they had him sit out the entire year to recover and rehab. Now they get a fresher guy coming back. I like the Denver Nuggets for next year. If I have to handicap for next year, Denver's my team to watch, maybe even more so than the Lakers.
You know what? As we lay this out, looking at whether or not the Warriors, I mean, it's insane to think, but there's a good case to be made of whether or not the Warriors end up making the playoffs next year. 888-957-9570. You're listening to The Conversation. In light of what the Lakers just did, where do you guys weigh in? 888-957-9570. You can also hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. It's Joe, Jim Cozumel, who's in for low today, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. No one's mentioned the Pelicans. Pelicans won 33 games last year.
Right.
33 games. They got rid of Anthony Davis, who was leaving anyway. Here comes Brandon Ingram. Here comes Lonzo Ball. Here comes Josh Hart. You already have Drew Holiday. You are going to grab Zion Williamson, and then you can either use the number 4 pick on yourself, or you can deal the number 4 pick to a lot of teams that are currently interested. We'll ask Ramona Shelbourne about this in about 27 minutes at 7:45, and bring in a veteran that way as well. Like, the Pelicans should be a team that can challenge for a 500 record. Maybe they are this year's Sacramento Kings.
Right, and you look at the West and the way it broke down last year with a 6-win total separating the 2 seed from the 8 seed. Super packed at the top, but it was also packed from seeds 9 through 14 with 6 wins separating the 6 teams that didn't make the playoffs. So if you see the top 8 regressing a little bit and the bottom 6 coming up a little bit, you can see a scenario where the Warriors might win 43, 44 games and be anywhere from the 7th seed to the 13th seed because I think it's going to be that packed in the West next year.
I did not think we would have this conversation. I didn't think this was going to be a legitimate conversation. I really didn't.
Yeah.
Like the idea of them making the playoffs, I sneezed at it, figuratively, of course. And then the more we're laying this out, I'm find myself leaning towards what you guys are saying, which is a no.
What's a season of Klay and KD worth in terms of win total? If you don't have those two guys, let's say it costs you 10 wins maybe over the course of a season.
I thought more than 10.
I would too, but if you think it's 10, all of a sudden they drop down to 47 wins next year, which would put them as the 9 seed.
Yeah.
And that's not even factoring in, like you say, it's probably worth more than 10 wins. And also these other teams, Dallas getting Porzingis back and all the other additions, the Lakers obviously getting AD, that's got to be worth 8 wins on its own. So they rise, the Warriors fall, and all of a sudden you see a scenario where Golden State's right in the mixer. It's no longer coasting for the one seed or just chilling and getting the two. You're going to have to fight tooth and nail just to get wins next year.
How many teams in the West can you look at and say, I know they're going to be good next year? Because I'm looking
at
the eight. Well, I'm just saying the 8 playoff teams from last year, good means I guarantee they're going to be in the playoffs next year.
All right, so what teams can we put in the playoffs right now?
Yeah,
I think Denver for sure.
Okay.
All right, well, how many were you
going to say? I have 2 in my head, and that's
only
one of
2?
Them. Yes.
Who's the other one?
Utah.
So you don't think Oklahoma? You're not putting Oklahoma City in the playoffs for next year?
I don't know what they're going to be in the playoffs. But I don't know what they're going to be. That's what I'm saying. I don't. Daryl Morey said everything's on the table. Everything could go. Now, there's a likely chance they're going to be the playoff team, but are they going to look like the Houston Rockets do now? Are the Clippers going to look like the Clippers do right now? The Warriors aren't going to look the same. The Blazers aren't going to look the same. The Rockets aren't going to look the same. Maybe I'll give you Oklahoma City, so I'll give you 3. San Antonio, they're not going to look the same. I don't know who I can guarantee out of the West is a playoff team right now.
Who can you guarantee isn't a playoff team?
Phoenix.
Are you sure?
Memphis.
Phoenix is due.
Yeah. Long overdue.
Yeah, I know. I'd say Memphis and Phoenix I can lock.
Tom Gugliotta isn't walking through those doors.
You know what? I'm going to
lock. Wait, did Googs even play for them? Or was he Minnesota?
Gugliotta did play for them. That's a good pull.
I was thinking more about Thunder Dan Marley, though.
Right.
I get my...
Thunder Dan was great.
1990s...
Swing men.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it.
I did.
Thank you.
Tom Chambers? Tom Chambers.
Tommy Chambers.
There's a good one.
Legit. Legit.
I was thinking
about Rex Chapman. Not Rex Walters, but Rex Chapman.
Rex Walters, former USF coach.
Thank you. Yes, what a run.
I'm going to tell you who's not going to make the playoffs. Phoenix, Memphis, and get this, I'm putting New Orleans in
Minnesota's
that list.
Minnesota is also on that list to me.
I think that's not a bad
Minnesota's
call.
Minnesota's got a ton of talent, but they got no heart.
I guarantee that. And
what was the other one you said? You said Phoenix, Memphis.
I said New Orleans.
And New Orleans isn't going to make it.
Well, they'll
be young.
Make it. Yeah.
Are they going to surprise you if they win 43 games
yes,
and drive an 8
they
seed?
They will shock me. They will shock me. Ralph Sampson was the number one overall pick in 83, 84. He was the rookie of the year, and it got the Houston Rockets the rights to have the first overall pick the next year. Doesn't matter how great your number one pick is. Zion ain't turning them into a playoff team. The end.
Zion Williamson greater than Ralph Sampson.
Ralph Sampson was transformational as a player, and it got them Akeem Olajuwon.
In college, he was transformational, but come time for the NBA where there's bigger centers
to
defend
my Zion case. Keep going.
No, it's because you're trying to put Zion in a box. It's my Zion in a box. And he's not the player you think he is at 19 years of age. Ralph Sampson was never going to develop a perimeter game. It just wasn't the way basketball was played back then.
A texter said... I asked, who is Zion? He said, he's grandmama. He's Larry Johnson. Is he
Larry
Johnson?
A lot of people like that.
Then I'll say, you know what? He's going to be a nice player.
The same.
Yeah.
But I think you bring him in, he's going to be able to contribute. I don't know if he's 20 and 10, but he's going to bring up.
He ain't 20 and 10.
They are going to be, not next year, no. But, right. I mean, look, that team, Ingram had, that was probably his best season this past year. Lonzo is going to be – I think those guys, we're not giving them enough credit. Getting out of the LeBron cesspool and having to worry every night about getting traded, having to worry about this guy dictating your future, Rich Paul hanging around trying to move you, that was a terrible scenario for these guys to be in. Now they're in New Orleans, and granted, you got LaVar Ball out there screaming and guaranteeing that there will be no more championships won by the Lakers. Who cares what you have to say? You go to New Orleans, you can have a little fun there. There's going to be no pressure. Like – New Orleans fans are going to be very excited about this basketball team. You're going to be in a place where you're welcomed, where they hope you stay for a while. They're going to want to root for you. It could be a fun basketball team. They're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way, but it could be one of these teams that over the course of a season starts to gel. Maybe they find their way to an 8 seed and make a little noise. I don't think they're going to make a deep run or anything, but suddenly they've got a lot of balance. They got a lot of depth. They're really young, really young. And we keep leaving Julius Randle out. He's off a breakout season. Ingram's off the breakout season. Ball can defend on the outside.
I think that's a better comp for Zion than Larry Johnson, quite frankly. Julius Randle, similar build, left-handed, can score around the rim. I think Zion's a little bit of a better athlete. And if he can develop an outside shot, now all of a sudden you get to put him in the LeBron conversation.
And I think on the Randall front, he might have opted out of his contract, so he's an unrestricted free agent. So that's, you know, there's
that a little, 1+1 when he left?
It had to have been at his option.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a 2-year deal for like $18 million. He had a monster season.
So we're back on the Lonzo Ball bandwagon. We think he's something?
I think he was always something. I think his father made it awful to have to even discuss him. If it was Tatum, like, does anyone ever hear from Tatum's family?
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
See, here we go. This is too much.
Lane.
I'm already getting out of here.
Stay in your lane.
I will say this. You two have everybody shook with that Warrior question because no one wants to call to talk about it.
I know.
No one even wants to call to defend the Warriors.
Wow.
So we'll throw this out there because we've got to continue breaking down the trade. We got to talk about what happened in baseball. That's big news for the Giants. We got to talk about Nick Bosa and the Niners. We got a ton of things to get to today.
Toronto
All brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. But here's the question. Do the Warriors make the playoffs next year? 888-957-9570. All that's next. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. Well, reacting to the big news from over the weekend, the Pelicans traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers. New Orleans, in return, received Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and 3 first-round picks, including this year's number 4 overall pick. Who won the trade, and how does this impact the West, specifically the Warriors? ESPN's Ramona Shelburne will join the show at 7:45 to talk about the massive risks and reward behind the AD trade. So how will the dominoes fall in free agency now? Golden State's offseason is going to be a busy one as well. Who will stay and who will go? Joe Cozendiv will look into the latest with Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, and Kevon Looney. Plus, former Warrior Matt Barnes will hop on this morning at 9:05. This update is sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a caller click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. Still to come, do Klay and KD have some unfinished business? The guys will discuss. I'm Anna Kagadaki's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our Monday-bound listening audience, because we love you. We thank you for joining us today, and because we've got a lot to get to here. Low out today and tomorrow. Big man back later this week. Jim Cozumore in his stead. So it's Joe Cozendibs here on 95.7 The Game. If you want to light him up, feel free to do so. The question, will the Warriors make the playoffs next year? Sounds crazy. But really think about it for a second. Durant expected to miss the entire season. Should he even accept the Warriors' max offer that we expect to be coming? Klay Thompson likely to miss all of next season. Anthony Davis headed to the Lakers. That wasn't even a playoff team next year. So if they slide into the playoff spot, who's sliding out? Work your way through it. Dibs and Coz brought this up this morning. I thought, no, this is just crazy trolling. And then you really slice it and you think, this could be a stretch. This could be a real stretch for this team next year.
It's not like the West is getting weaker. And it's not like the Warriors are so far and above everyone else that they can afford to be without two All-Stars. This is not the 73-win team, maybe regressing back to 55. This is a team that only won 57 regular season games. And, oh, by the way, they were just 9 games ahead of the 8th and final playoff spot. So you lose Kevin Durant, a transcendent player. You lose Klay Thompson. Whether or not you sign either one to be back the year after next, you're going to be without them next year. And you look at Steph Curry and all the mileage on his legs, Draymond Green, all the games he's played, Andre Iguodala coming up on the last year of his deal. And it's not like you're going to throw Iguodala in there now for 35 minutes a night, a veteran player.
Nope.
I just don't see where, over an 82-game span, where the Warriors are able to get this much consistent play out of a team that looks to be fairly depleted.
Is this the best way to have it happen, rip the Band-Aid off? Or is it better to see the slow, gradual decline? Or is the problem with that scenario that we don't think there would be a slow, gradual decline if you bring those guys back? They would just continue to keep winning. So I'm trying to figure out, should I feel like, all right, listen, they have gone from the greatest 5-year run we have seen in this generation. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Maybe that cements it as the best 5 years instead of seeing the slow, gradual decline.
I think it builds up a great opportunity 2 years from now. I think right now, it's not just the fact that you lost the finals. It's that you lost the finals and there were some significant injuries that are already knocking out next season. most likely next season you will not be significant contenders. I think that's a reasonable statement. I don't think you're going to be serious contenders next year, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But now Anthony Davis is joining the Lakers, so it's going to be LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. They're going to be able to find a way to bring in one more max player. Perhaps it's Kemba Walker. Kawhi Leonard could be a possibility. Maybe Kyrie Irving, although many expect him to sign with the Nets. So after that, you'd have a mid-level exception, and that would be it. But if the Lakers become a contender, you look around the Western Conference, you see what else is out there, it's going to be tough to get in, number one. Number two, the Lakers now take all the shine. They take all the excitement. Nick Wright, you're back in play. You can go ahead and start talking about how great LeBron is. Skip, you can go ahead and attack LeBron. And we can work our way through all the talking heads to take their positions on this and yell and scream from now until they're wrong, and then they'll just scream about the next thing. But this is now all on the Lakers. Warrior fans next season get to roll into a year where it's just watching basketball. You can get excited about a Thursday game against the Atlanta Hawks when they come to town because maybe that'll be a challenge. The Warrior-King rivalry suddenly takes on way new meaning, much newer meaning. You're not going to have these ridiculous expectations next year that you need to win 35 games at Oracle in order to justify the final season, that you need to grab the one seed, that you need to put together a ridiculous streak. You can just play hoops with the understanding that you're probably not the best team. Put all the pressure on James, let all the haters go to James, and then as you spend the year, hopefully in a wise fashion, and the best way to do that would be develop the young guys who don't get enough minutes. Figure out what you have from Jacob Evans. Figure out what you have from Jordan Bell and the rest of these guys so that when Durant and Clay, should they both choose to sign max deals with the Warriors, come back in two seasons, you now don't have the problem you had this year, which was who do we turn to on the bench? You've got guys you can plug in. You don't become as dependent on the free agent system. And then maybe LeBron does hoist a championship. And just when he gets excited about bringing another one to L.A., you smash him in the face like you did last time. And you go ahead and you win one more. You do it at Chase Center. And then everyone kind of understands this is probably the end of the line. And you get that one last kick. What do they call it in the stock market? The dead cat bounce?
The dead cat bounce, yes.
Yeah, the dead cat bounce.
Wow, you guys are deep into your stocks. I like
right
it.
Right before the stock goes to total
swan?
Zero.
Total zero.
You get that last little, and then it goes back down. Much like when, you know, when a dead cat, whatever. I don't need to be too graphic with
that. The chicken running around with no head.
Yeah, it's a
like
good
one
run.
Of those, it's just reaction.
It's a brief run. It's a good run, and then it's over. But right now, if you're the Warriors, you're trying to see if you can match what San Antonio did oh so many years ago when they won four titles in 9 years right now. Because you've got, what, the 3-5 right now, right, Joe? Three titles
correct
in 5 years. You're probably not going to win the title next year. Jim and I think that you're going to miss the playoffs, so that becomes 3-6. You don't have to win one in that seventh year of this run, but in order to match San Antonio and what they did, you need to get to 4-9 because you're not going to get what Chicago had, 6-8. Six and eight is a tall order, and obviously no one's ever going to do what Boston did, getting 10 out of 11. But if you can just get to 4-9, if you can get one more, Jim, over the next 4 years, I think then it's mission accomplished.
But just think about what we're talking about here. To say 1-4, that's still hard to do.
Incredibly hard.
Right? But it's not out of the realm, right? Because the Warriors just proved they can do something like that. There aren't a lot of fan bases who can say, you know what, we just went through an incredible run. We're going to have a down period, but I'm confident they're going to be back. Sometimes you know, well, our run is done. You've seen it before in sports. Or, well, we're looking at it at third and King.
Yes.
Great run. It was fabulous. You know, now we're kind of sitting back going,
run's done.
Yeah, run's done. And not only that, it's going to be a while. But I think we could confidently sit here and say, even though this five-year stretch is done, the entirety of the story isn't told yet. That I've confidence they can come back and be the great, one of the greats of the great. And if they win another title, I am not going to be shocked.
I think that the blueprint is one you can look at to San Antonio for, because you go back to 96 when they won 59 games, San Antonio did. Then the next year, David Robinson fought through back issues. He came back, broke his foot. The team didn't have Chuck Person, the rifleman, all year. They go from 59 wins all the way down to 20. Now, I'm not saying you can reach that level here at Chase Center because you're opening a brand new building.
That's the one. What if they?
That's the hugest caveat.
If they weren't playing at Oracle,
you could go full Tankorama. You could go straight up Tank City, and you could let Steph go play golf for a year, and you could tell Draymond, go ahead and take this year off, big guy, because you wouldn't need wins. But going to Chase, you absolutely need it. But you don't have to necessarily scratch and claw for that 8 seed if you're going to do it at the cost of future prospects and also burning your players out. So I would look for somewhat of a regression, maybe not the San Antonio one where they went from 59 down to 20 and then all of a sudden back up to 56. But being in the lottery wouldn't be the worst thing next year.
No, I agree.
I just finished a little research project. Actually, I'm not finished yet. Question. Is it a good thing to be the number two pick in the NBA draft? Just think about it for a second, because I can't find a number two pick who's with the current team. Like, now that Lonzo has been dealt, okay, don't give me 2018 because that draft just happened.
Right.
But going back, listen to this. I'm stunned by this. 2017, the number two overall pick, Lonzo Ball, just traded to New Orleans. 2016, the number two overall pick, Brandon Ingram, also traded to New Orleans. 2015, the number two overall pick, D'Angelo Russell, traded to the Nets. 2014, the number two overall pick, Jabari Parker. 2013, Victor Oladipo. 2012, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. 2011, ooh, Derek Williams.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was number two?
Yeah. 2010, Evan Turner.
Who made that mistake?
2009, Hasheem Thabeet.
Oh, my God. That was awful.
I don't think there's a single number two, because now I've gone back 10 years. I don't think there's a single number two overall pick who's with the team that drafted him, outside of whatever it was last year, which I don't even know. 2018 NBA draft.
I don't think that there's a lot of players, though, Joe, to your point, who are still with the same team that drafted them. Players who've been around for more than 5, 6, 7 years. It seems like Steph Curry, Draymond, Clay, those guys are anomalies in this modern NBA.
Well, that's why this project started, because I was thinking how many of these top five picks are on the move. So 2017 of the top five, Markelle Fultz has already been dealt, and so has Lonzo Ball. 2016, Brandon Ingram and Chris Dunn. Dunn started with Minnesota and is now with the Bulls. 2015, D'Angelo Russell was two. Jahlil Okafor was three. Porzingis was four. So three of those guys have already been traded. 2014, Jabari Parker. And then I just got to the point where I focused on the number two overall pick, because all those guys have been on the move. So watch out, Marvin Bagley III. Watch out.
Good call.
Sacramento's got to move you sometime here in the very near future.
Sometime very soon.
Crazy. So is it good to be the number two overall pick?
It is for the player, I mean, because ultimately you get paid. But for teams, and a lot of times those teams that draft those players are bad teams. That's why you're in the lottery. And when you're a bad team, you're more likely than not to change out your coach, change out your GM, your president of basketball operations. So they might come in and see a player that you have, like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, for example, and say exactly what Jim said. Who the hell drafted him number two? And then new regimes make moves to get rid of old mistakes.
Ramona Shelburne from ESPN coming up in about 3 minutes. Tamir, our boy in Oakland, he's on the phone. Tamir, what are you thinking? Are the Warriors going to make the playoffs next year?
At first, I was like, what Dibs and Cozy said, I was like, just take it off, have Steph Curry play golf, or not. But then I thought, I said, they're opening the Chase Center. So I just feel like Lakers not just going to sit back on his hands and stuff. He'll pay whatever, because you can't open a new stadium and be, like, win 20 games or 15. So, like, my deep-down Warrior fan saying go for the lottery, but I just feel like Lakers going to do something and make it so they make, like, an eighth seed or a push for the playoffs so he has fans coming to chase him.
Appreciate the call. What's the move, though? It seems like there's not a lot out there. They want to offer the max to Kevin Durant and the Klay Thompson, which is great, bring them back, but neither guy's going to play next year. You've also got 40-plus million tied up in Steph. Draymond's on the roster for 19.
Iguodala's
Andre's
on the
there
for
17.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a move. I don't think there's a move to be made. I like the idea of competing, sure, but how are they going to do it? What could they possibly do? And the thing is, if you don't re-sign Durant, it's not like all that money comes back into the pool like in football and you can just use it elsewhere.
Right, and the thing about it, too, is if you want to sign, say, Kevon Looney and you have his rights to where you can sign him for more than just the mid-level, the tax on that's going to be 3 or 4X. So let's say you get Kevon Looney in for $7 million or $8 million. Doesn't matter. You're going to have to pay another $24 or $28 million on top of that. So no matter who you bring in, if you're able to bring in, and I wrote down some of these names before the show, guys like Derrick Rose, for example, free agent, a guy who could come in and help you.
I'd go to Chase Center to watch Derrick Rose. He
without
had a nice season.
But, I mean, what's he going to command on the open market? Maybe $10 million, $12 million?
See, I think that's a Laker target, quite frankly.
But I'm just saying, Jim, if you look at any of these players of this ilk, guys who could come in, who could come in and help you, Brooke Lopez, Jamal Crawford, Rudy Gay, none of these options is going to be cheap, and you have to pay the luxury tax on top of that. So to your point, I don't know how aggressive you can be to do what? To bring in three guys who are going to help you be the fourth or fifth seed? For me, it'd be better off to bring in nobody. Maybe you bring in a guy like Vince Carter in, who you could probably pay the vet men, a guy who just wants to play basketball. Throw him out there and don't worry about it.
I think he has more value elsewhere, and I think he realizes that. If he's not going to compete for a ring, he would be a guy that would fit with the Lakers, to be honest. Because once they're done with whether it's Leonard or it's not going to be Kyrie Irving, it doesn't look like. But if they bring in Kemba Walker, they got the mid-level left. And that could be a guy like Vince Carter who could come in and help there. All right, to the phones we go. Dynamite guest, senior writer, ESPN.com, Ramona Shelbourne joining Joe, Coz, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Ramona, we've seen you all over TV this morning, and we know you're really busy, so we appreciate the time. Let's start with the trade between the Lakers and the Pelicans. You've been all over the story. You're based out of L.A. What do you make of this? Is there a winner, or did both teams come away in good shape from this deal?
I mean, I think New Orleans did about as good as a team could possibly do, considering the situation they were in, right? I mean, they, you know, they're about to lose Anthony Davis for nothing after 1 year, and they won the lottery. So you had a situation where they had to decide, okay, are we going to have the draft on Thursday, pick Zion Williamson number one overall, and the first three questions he answers are about Anthony Davis, right? I mean, that's, you know, they had to get this done before the draft and just really have a fresh start. And I think they did, you know, other than being able to trade Solomon Hill and get that contract off their books, they got a lot. I mean, the idea of just Lonzo Ball throwing lobs to Zion, Lonzo and Jrue Holiday are probably the best backcourt and the best defensive backcourt in the league, right? If you look at them just, you know, from that standpoint, like they – that's going to be a great fit there. Brandon Ingram, you know, had if you look at the way he finished last year and especially the way he played when he wasn't on the court with LeBron, nice young player just about to come into his own. So, they did well. And I think for the Lakers, like, yeah, they got a second star. I don't know how they're going to fill out the roster, but this is a star-driven town. That's what they do.
And they love it down there in L.A. without a doubt. And we know this changes the balance of power significantly in the West with the Lakers rising up, but for the Warriors to be without KD and likely Klay for the entire year next year, where do you slot them in now in the new pecking order in the West?
So I got to be honest, I still think the Warriors are going to be good. Like, you still have Steph Curry, you still have Draymond Green. Like, they still have a nice little roster. I mean, Steph Curry is 2-time MVP. Draymond Green's a perennial All Star. I think those two guys have big years, and then, you know, lately the Warriors have not been all that successful in getting the veterans who will come and play for less on their team to go try to chase a ring. They haven't really gotten a lot of guys that have contributed for them in those roles outside of maybe David West, but even that was kind of just 1 year. But I think they'll be in the market now. And the reason why they weren't getting those guys is because they didn't have a big role to offer, right? Most of the time, those type of veterans only come if they feel like they're really going to play and they're really going to have a role. Well, guess what? There's quite a bit of offense that they need to pick up, and you get to do it playing alongside Draymond and Steph Curry. Not bad.
Ramona, you have a nice piece over at ESPN.com, the massive risks and rewards behind this Anthony Davis trade. So we know the two big ticket items in LeBron and the Brow. How are the Lakers going to fill out the rest of that roster? Are they going to go after another big-name star to have a three-headed monster, or are they going to cut the dollars they have to spend, cut it up into slices, and try to add some complementary pieces?
I think the most likely thing is they cut it up into slices. I mean, there's this sense that if you can get Kyrie Irving or one of the top two guys on the market, two or three maybe, then it's probably worth it to go after a max guy. But I don't even know that they have a max to offer anymore based on the timing of this deal. Like, they and Anthony Davis's trade bonus, so it's a trade kicker that's $4 million. I don't think they can even get to a max offer. So if you're talking to the top guys in the market, they're not coming unless you have a max. Like, and you know, yeah, it'd be enticing to play with Bron and Anthony, but the max offer is a max offer.
Ramona Shelbourne, senior writer, ESPN.com, joining Joe, Coz, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. You had a great piece that we were dissecting, I think it was late last week, regarding a conversation between Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson following Klay's surgery. Kevin apparently FaceTimed him. You spoke to Michael Thompson, Klay's father, about this. Can you give our listeners who didn't read the article the gist of what you came across?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the Klay's darkest moment, really. I mean, he's sitting in the locker room and the doctors are telling him they suspect he has an ACL tear, but they need an MRI to confirm it. I mean, he's, you know, in a lot of pain. He's upset. He can't play in the game anymore. He was having like a career game, and he was probably playing the best basketball of his life in that game. And then to suffer a devastating injury like that affects free agency. Like, just it's hard to recount, you know, to even imagine that scene. And in that moment, he gets a FaceTime from Kevin Durant, who is in New York recovering from his own surgery on the Achilles. And, you know, I don't know what was said, right? But Michael Thompson, his dad, was there and he heard the whole thing. And he goes, I'm not going to divulge what they said, but they were just, you know, talking about coming back strong. And, you know, who knows what that means, right? Like, I don't know in that moment if that means Kevin's going to stay or if it means Kevin's, you know, and that he's feeling that right then. And we'll see how that plays in July. But the fact that he called Klay Thompson in the locker room on a FaceTime while he's like recovering from an Achilles surgery shows you how connected he was to the Warriors team and the brotherhood that had started that had really emerged at the end there. You know, because his season's over, right? If he was, you know, out the door, leaving for wherever he was going to go, I don't know. Is he still putting that call in? Is he still locked in and focused the way he seemed to be at the end?
Yeah, it's tough to say. There's been so much speculation here, obviously, about the future of the Warriors. But you look at the situation with the New York Knicks. Are they now a team that is left holding the bag in all this with all the talk of possibly Kyrie going to Brooklyn and other free agents maybe staying away from the Knicks?
Could be. Like, the Knicks could really get shut out, right? But, you know, I think some of it also is a big loyalty test, right? Like, if you really want Kevin Durant, you have to be prepared to offer him a max contract while he's going to miss probably the entire first year. And, it, you know, big man coming off an Achilles injury, who knows? Maybe he's never the same. We don't know. You know, I would bet on him, but that's a big gamble, you know, for a team like the Knicks that doesn't have a lot of equity invested in Durant, whereas the Warriors, like, they do. I mean, this is the guy who's helped them win two championships. So, you know, if the Knicks miss on Kyrie Irving and Durant and trading for Anthony Davis and even Kemba Walker, man, like, are they tanking again next year? Could be.
Ramona, I'm most intrigued by Laker drama. Magic Johnson hits Twitter and thanks Jeannie.
Amazing.
I know,
yeah.
Great. And hits Jeannie Buss twice, says, yep, great job, Jeannie, great job, Jeannie. A little bit later, gets Rob Pelinka in there. Is there, and I don't know if I'm getting too far ahead of it, is there something going on with the, everyone heard the rumors. Magic's trying to buy the Lakers. Kobe's got a group trying to buy the Lakers. What's going on with the drama behind the scenes, and what's Magic trying to work his way into?
Oh, I don't think Kobe's trying to buy the Lakers. I don't know. I've suspected that maybe Magic had another agenda with, you know, kind of the way he resigned and some of the hints that he dropped. But I haven't had anything concrete behind the scenes that suggested that he had something going. I really just think he took his ball and went home and got upset about it because he wasn't very good at the job and sort of quit, because that's when you're Magic Johnson, you don't have to do anything that's not very fun or you're getting a lot of criticism for, or maybe you're not that good at, right? I think when you look at it, you know, with his tweets the other day, I literally laughed out loud when I saw that. It was so funny. It was like, great job, Rob Pelinka. Right? Like,
awesome.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, he's like, say he's a backstabber and horrible. But you have to remember this about Magic. He is a Laker fan, okay? And he's a big cheerleader. And so he's gone through most of his life being able to say and do what pretty much whatever he wanted, because he's Magic Johnson. Like, you can say, I want the coach fired. You can say, I quit. You know, he was a coach for a while. He quit that. He was, you know, he kind of is able to do whatever he wants. And there's really not a lot of consequences because every room you walk into, you're Magic Johnson. And I as bad as it was, the way he left, I mean, he literally took like a flamethrower to the organization and threw everyone under the bus. If he shows up on opening night and wants to like have a public face or say something to the crowd, I think they'll let him. I mean, it's just kind of the way it's been ever since he started, you know, winning championships with the Lakers in 79.
Ramona, before we let you go, did you get a chance to read this piece by Tim McMahon on the dysfunction in the Houston Rockets locker room?
So I haven't read it yet, but I knew it was coming, right? So I kind of know what's inside of it. And, you know, this is just the consequences of the Warriors, right? Like, I mean, if you look at this objectively, Houston did a lot of things right. They went for it. They took a shot. And they just came up short because they lost to the historically good team 2 years in a row, even when they weren't even favored. I know that's a lot of pressure on a team when you go make the trade for Chris Paul and you lay out that kind of contract and all that. But man, you lost to the Warriors. They're like a dynasty. It seems like an overreaction, and quite unfair to some really good basketball people.
Great stuff. Senior writer for ESPN.com, one of the absolute best in the business, Ramona Shelbourne, joining Joe, Coz, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Ramona, again, we know how busy you are. Thank you for making some time for us today. We really do appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Ramona appearing on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across existing devices. I got a lot to break down there. Let's start with this. Who smashes a spoon off of a bowl that frequently while eating oatmeal? Oatmeal is supposed to be one of the most quietest dishes out there.
Man, I'll tell you what. Spoon versus bowl, we're all losers.
Sounded like I'm out in the Serengeti and a lion was chasing down a gazelle.
Whose role am I playing today? Right?
Exactly. What chair are you in?
All right, what chair am I in? I'm supposed to make noise in the midst of things going on. I'm supposed to forget to turn on my microphone when I'm talking, right?
Wow. Say it. Say, I'm sorry, sir.
Hey, Ramona, clank, 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 as I'm eating my oatmeal. It's like, why is the spoon hitting the bowl with that much force? The spoon dips into the bowl. It's like the spoon was fighting the bowl.
I like to get to the bottom. I like to get to all the goods.
All Man. Right. So that's one thing.
Bowl scraper.
Jeez. Number two. Who is the better Twitter follow, Magic Johnson or, and I got to ask, O.J. Simpson?
Oh, wow.
If you could only
I'm
follow,
not going to be here.
If you could only follow one of them, Magic having a very, very interesting weekend. He sees the trade. Like Ramona said, he's a fanboy. He's like all over. Great trade, great deal. He's so excited. And then O.J. dropping videos about, I mean, it was just wild. I'm not endorsing anything. I'm just asking. You got to follow one of them. Who are you following?
It's OJ, sadly, because Magic.
Look at you.
You know, Magic tweeting from the NBA Finals. You know, if Toronto continues to outscore the Warriors, they're going to end up winning this game. It was, thanks, Magic.
But there's humor in that, is there not?
There's only humor if he's intending to be funny, and I don't really think he is. A lot of his tweets are, man, Kawhi Leonard. Boy, that guy can really play.
Kawhi Leonard went 14 of 20 in game two for 39 points. He can play.
Right. It's just, come
on.
He
always gives you the stat line. And not like a Tom Haberstroh, like, great, like, hey, look at this unbelievable stat. It's just one of these, Kawhi Leonard scored 35 points with 12 rebounds. He's a force.
Yes.
Like, man, you thought you needed to tweet that?
I know where he stands, though. I know where he stands. I don't have to read between the lines when he tweets something. Mm-mm. That might be a good one for me.
Better follow for you, OJ or Magic?
OJ is the creepiest follow on the planet right now. Isn't that the creepiest follow on Twitter?
Right now,
if you had a handicap.
Probably not, because the Twitter's got quite a bit going on. I'm sure there's stuff that's creepier out there. There's probably some account that's just at creepy, and it's really creepy to follow whatever they post.
I'm not going to look at it. They are. I try not to look.
See, OJ just launches this video where he's just like, hey, you know, I'm not going to play the audio, but he's just, I'm joining Twitter and I look forward to talking to you about football and politics and I got some getting even to do. And it's like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
And then another, I mean, OJ, getting even for you and us, very different things.
Right.
Very different things.
And he starts out by getting even with Kris Jenner, apparently, and, you know, taking shots at her and mentioning how they've never had relations. Thanks,
that was video two.
Yes.
Video two on Father's Day. He wanted to set the record straight. An individual who apparently claims he was OJ's manager. OJ said he was never a manager, that this guy may have been someone who he was involved with in a couple business dealings, spreading a rumor that he is the father of Khloe Kardashian. He wanted to set the record straight on Father's Day. OJ is on Twitter shooting this video, letting people know he's not the father and he never had a relationship with Kris Jenner.
I have a question for you. Who would you rather have follow you back? Magic Johnson or OJ Simpson, right?
Yeah, I'd rather have Magic. I think that's a clean sweep. Who wants OJ Simpson following them?
That's the scare if you start to follow him. It's like, oh, follow him. Oh, maybe I'll follow them back.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome for OJ.
I'd be scared. All of a sudden you see that pop up.
I want to see Arendthal following you. That would be so sweet.
I'm not following him.
Joe, who's he following right now?
Maybe he likes your takes, Joe. Maybe he likes some. Maybe he's on Bet 162.
He lives in Vegas.
Yeah, so he's
such a narcissist. I doubt he's going to follow a lot of people. He's following eight people. Here are the follows for OJ Simpson right now. The PGA Tour. Yikes. PGA Tour. Get out of there. The Buffalo Bills. The NFL. Tim Graham, who covered the Bills for years. I think he's still doing so. USC football. The Heisman Trophy. Justin Simpson, who's a real estate agent, I guess that's his son, and Malcolm Laverne, who is an attorney in Las Vegas. Those are the eight O.J. Simpson follows.
Do you think USC and the Heisman and the NFL and the Bills all want to be followed by Arendthal?
No. Every institution that's associated with him does not want to be associated with him moving forward. It's not good for anybody's brand. Seriously, if you ever did business with him, you think the Bills are going to have an O.J. Simpson night? When they go back
bring
on
back
Monday Night
the electric
Football?
Company, bring back the electric. Wasn't that his offensive line? The electric company, bring them all back together.
Yeah, there's no way. The NFL is probably looking at this like, look, we got to have a meeting. Goodell's getting called in off vacation.
You should have blocked him. Now it's out there. Who's following him? So if you block him now, it becomes a news story.
This is nuts. I spent a good 3 to 4 minutes yesterday really determining whether or not I wanted to follow him. I was afraid that if I follow him, you're like associated with that brand. But I still can't get over just every time he says something, every time he does something, I'm drawn to it. I'm drawn to it for the same reason you slow down to stare at a car wreck out the window.
How many
like
followers?
This has been such a part of my life. 25 years now since what happened in Brentwood to now that this has been going. I'm 38. Plus, OJ was in all those movies, Naked Gun and all
right.
that. Yep. The guy is as big a part of my life as like half my family member. I got a younger brother who's been in my life as long as OJ has. This is nuts.
But how many followers does he have right now?
639,000.
When does he become a Twitter influencer? There's going to be a gambling outfit. There's going to be some business. It's going to be marijuana. It's going to be somebody who wants to sponsor OJ.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Is it CBD oil? Somehow, because he's going to say aches and pains I've had from playing football. Someone's going to jump on the OJ bandwagon. He will profit from this and become an influencer.
Someone's going to offer him a show, too, at some point.
You're right.
He's going to end up on TV or
radio, you know what? TV doesn't matter anymore. TV doesn't matter. He's going to end up with some internet, some Netflix-y. And it won't be Netflix, but it'll be some kind of streaming service. You're right. He'll have his own say.
What does it say about us? Like, as a society, 639,000 followers in 3 days to this guy's account.
Ask the Mayans. Ask
talking
the
about
Romans.
It on air, too. It's, like, compelling.
Ask the original Chinese. Ask the
original
Huns.
Chinese.
Right. They used to own the world, and then they fell off. Now they're coming back.
How am I going to ask him if that was hundreds of years ago?
Ask the Romans. Ask the Mayans.
They're all dead, Cozumel.
That's what I mean. That's what my answer is. We're dying as a society, Joseph.
All right, this is the whole China
metaphor.
That's on me. That's on me for allowing that to happen. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, but with a twist. Jim Cozumel in for Low the next 2 days. Great to have him with us, despite all the Chinese rants, which we tend to get on a regular basis around these parts. Ramona Shelbourne. Not as bullish on the Warriors as you two are. You guys made a case this morning about how difficult it's going to be for the Warriors to get back to the playoffs. I was like, all right, this is just a classic nonsensical take. And then you think about it and you go through all the teams in the West who have been solid and are getting better. And you think there may not be a lot of room for them to get into the postseason. Dibs, you laid out a great case in terms of win reduction. Ramona comes on and says they still have Steph. They still have Draymond. Convinced that this is still a pretty good team that should make it to the playoffs. When she laid that out, what did you think? Did you double take it all?
No, I thought
lazy
Ramona,
take,
if this
and
is,
she doesn't know what she's talking
that's
about.
Not
go
what
ahead,
I
you
thought
can
at
say
all,
it.
Jim. What I thought was this is not Ice Cube's 3-on-3. you're going to have five players on the floor, and you're going to have some bench players come in and play. So she's right. Steph Curry is a two-time MVP, and Draymond Green is a perennial All-Star. Okay, great. I'll take those two against any other two players in the association, including LeBron and Anthony Davis. But then what? You need three more players to play.
Hold on. You got to hit me for the five because I was coming in too hot there.
Coming in real hot, Joseph.
Or actually cold because the mic was off. So I was coming in ice cold. You would take Steph and Draymond over LeBron and Anthony Davis?
If you're playing two-on-two, perhaps. You're shooting the three. I don't know who Steph guards, whatever.
Pretend it's not a two-on-two matchup. Just you're going to start from scratch. You can either have these two, and then you build around. Which two would you rather have?
Right now, today, I'd probably take Steph and Draymond. Yeah,
really?
LeBron's closer to the end than he is to the middle. Forget the beginning of his career. I think, you look at the injury he had this year. Do you think LeBron's going to play 82 games this upcoming season?
No.
No chance.
No, you're going to want to be smart. They saw what Kawhi Leonard did. Everyone did. I think load management is going to become a big problem. I'm on record of saying
that. And that's another reason why, as you look at this Warrior project going forward, that I don't think they're a playoff team right now because of load management. You're not going to play Steph and Draymond 82 games. Andre Iguodala, assuming he plays, it is his last year. You're not going to play him 35 minutes a night. And so then what are you left with? You're left with the Damians, Jones and Lee. You're left with Quinn Cook, Jonas Jerebko, whoever replaces him, that type of player. You got nothing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.